إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، My dear brothers and sisters, today is the last day of the LEC. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to come and take the time out of our lives and to collect here for something which was more important than whatever else we had been doing. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more important than whatever else we were doing, and I hope at least that is clear by now, because many of us would have come here thinking that we are taking time out from these great world-changing lives of ours, without which the world would have come to a stop, and we discover that at the end of 5 days the world is running along perfectly well, thank you very much. And we came here to do something which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given us, which is to collect here, to come here only for His dhikr, and to spend that time only in remembering Him. And so first of all we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began His kalam with shukr. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And in that kalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to make a dua. And that dua is not for Jannah. That dua is not for His maghfira. The dua is for the path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. I remind myself and you that as Shaykh Nasiruddin Albani rahmatullah alayhi said, the task is to stay on the path. It is all very well to have great goals and great visions and whatnot, but no goal is achieved and no vision is achieved just by dreaming it. You have to actually walk the path. And that is where most people fail. And as you see here also, there are people, may Allah bless them, they take 5 days out of their lives, they come here, and then they don't take part in the Ijtimai Amal, in the collective, in the classes, in the tahajjud, you don't see them. These are not evil people. And they need to decide what they are. But the fact remains that if you were not part of what was going on, then you missed whatever was going on. So either what was going on was in any case useless, so you didn't lose anything by missing it, or it was something useful and that is gone forever. And don't fool yourself to think that I'm going to listen to this recording and that recording, I'm going to ask for this slide or that slide. Nothing, none of that will help you. What you missed is missed. Gone. Whether it was a class, whether it was whatever. Alhamdulillah, whoever came to teach you, whoever came to lead you in Salah, they did their job. The reason I'm saying that is because this is the reality of our lives. This is what we do. If we take a collective photograph of the group, which I suppose the organizers are going to do, Allah Alam, and then if we preserve this photograph and we look at this photograph 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, one thing I can assure you, that materially and spiritually, everyone who is in this photograph today will not be in the same place. Some will be ahead, some will be behind. And that has nothing to do with any good luck or bad luck, or it has only to do with the amount of effort that you put into your own life. Not what you put into my life or I put into your life, no. What you put into your own life. And that is the choice we have. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, ask for the path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And what kind of path? The path of steadfastness. Allah did not tell us to ask for the straight path or the guided path. Steadfastness. To stay on the path and to keep walking. So what is it about a path? First of all, is to see where the path is leading. There are two ways to guide anybody. One way is to give the person a map and say, here is a map, follow it. That is a good way. But a great deal depends on the person's ability to read that map. And some people can read a map properly, some people mislead themselves and they read something else. So a superior way to guide somebody is to say, follow this person who knows the way. You can't possibly go wrong with that. With a map you might misinterpret and so on. But if somebody says, follow this person and he knows the way, as long as he knows the way, if he doesn't know the way, then different matter. But if he knows the way and we are sure of that, then you can't possibly go wrong because you are following the one who knows the way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhi. Which path? Allah did not say path to Jannah. The path of those on whom Allah laid his rahmah. And who is that? Who is the highest and who is the best of them on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his name? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also. Yaseen wal Qur'an al Hakim innaka lamina al mursaleen ala sirati mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi, verily you are one of my messengers and you are on the same sirat al mustaqim that these fellows have been asking for. So the task is to stay on the path and the task is to follow the guide who is walking ahead of us, who is leading us. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, some of the Sahaba, they felt that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's thawb and his clothes had become very old and they were full of patches. So they thought that he is the Khalifa of the Muslimin and he should wear better clothes. But nobody wanted to take the risk of telling him that. So they nominated Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu took a bolt of cloth and went to the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Hafsa radiallahu anha, our mother, the mother of the believers, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to her, this is not from me alone, this is many of us feel that this is what your father should do and please give this gift to your father but don't tell him who told you this. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came to see his daughter, Hafsa radiallahu anha gave him this bolt of cloth and she said that your brothers want you to make a new thobe. So he said, who told you this? He said, I cannot tell you that because I promised them that I will not reveal their identity. I am talking about sticking on the path and walking behind the guide. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to her, Tell me what were the clothes of your husband like? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wear? Hafsa radhiyallahu anha knew. She didn't say anything. One is her father, one was her husband. She did not say anything. So he said, tell my brothers that the reason I don't change this cloth is not because I don't want to change the cloth. The reason I do not change this cloth is because I am afraid that if I leave this path, then Allah will not allow me to be with my two companions. Muhammad Rasulullah and Abu Bakr Siddiq. Who is saying this? Amir al-Mu'mineen. The man who has been given the bashar of Jannah in his life. The man whose name we take after the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq, not because of our devotion to him, but because this is the order that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam created. A woman came and asked him, Ya Rasulullah, I have this question. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come tomorrow. She said, if you are not here tomorrow, he said, ask Abu Bakr. She said, if Abu Bakr is not there, he said, ask Omar. This was the hierarchy that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam created, and the Sahaba all accepted this. And that man is saying that if I leave, and something which we might consider insignificant, is it haram to wear a thobe without patches? After all, she was not asking you to wear gold brocade or something, you know. So who understands the thing more? The Sahaba of Rasulullah or we? I keep on saying over and over to remind myself that the issue of zuhd, the issue of making effort to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we lose track of this. We get sidetracked by all these bells and whistles that we have attached to Islam and created this celebrity Islam. Believe me, this will get us nowhere. We have to walk the path. You have to stick to the path. The path of steadfastness. And when you are walking on a path, you have to be clear about two things, or three things. First of all, how much distance are you covering every day? Because the path must take you to the destiny, must take you to the destination. So how much distance are you covering every day? And if you are walking an erratic path and one day you walk 100 meters and the next day you walk 1000 meters and the third day you walk 1 million meters, it doesn't make any sense. The way to get to a place is to be consistent in what you do. And so therefore on this path we need to measure. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these things that he did. For example, the salah, fard salah in jama'. And after the fard salah, the azkar. Without fail. No excuses, no, you know, some earth-shaking matter comes and therefore you leave, no? After the first salah, the azkar. After the azkar, dua. After dua, sunnah. And then only he would get up from that place. And then the fasting. Every Monday and Thursday. And then additional fasting. In addition to that, in Shaban, in addition to that, in Muharram, in addition to that, the fasting of Ramadan, which is fard. Khairat and sadaqat, not just the zakat, in addition to that. Monitoring of this daily, what do you do every day? What do you do every week? What do you do every month? So I advise myself and you, make a list of that and ensure that you do it. And as we said, excuses don't change reality. You can say what you want. If you did not go to the masjid, you did not get 27 times the reward. It's as simple as that. Even if you were carrying the whole earth on your shoulders, good for you. But you still don't get 27 times the reward because you did not go to the masjid. If you did not fast, you do not get the reward of fasting. And what is the reward of fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi. Allah did not say how much reward. He said, I will give it. I will give it. The fasting is for me and I will reward it. How much? He did not say how much. Alhamdulillah. So if you did not fast, you are not going to get that reward. Believe me. No matter what excuse you had, you will not get that reward. Let this sink inside. If you had decided that you were going to read so much Quran on a daily basis, and I strongly recommend you do that, get into the practice of reading at least one juz of Quran every day. At least minimum. You do more, Alhamdulillah, may Allah give you strength. But at least one juz of Quran every day. The azkar after the first salah, the azkar of the morning, the azkar of the night, Surah Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk in the night before you go to sleep, Surah Al-Kahf on Fridays, one juz of Quran every day. And then tell yourself that you're not doing anything great. This is the basic minimum. So how much did you walk on this path on a daily basis? Second thing about paths, what is your provision on this path? Because you start on a journey and you are walking and you have no food and you will die on the way because there's what do you eat? So what is the food? What is the path, food of this path? Allah said, "Inna khayra zadi taqwa." The best provision is at-taqwa. So we do all of these azkar and mamulat, and then when the time to come to eat, we eat anything that doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work. All that tilawat of Quran went down the drain because of some doubtful chicken. Or because you ate something which had Ajinomoto in it. You must be very careful. There's something called Ajinomoto, which is the brand name, the chemical name for that is monosodium glutamate, which is a flavor enhancer which is there in all kinds of things. Read the ingredients. That is a pork product. Monosodium glutamate comes from two sources. One is a pork product and the other one there is an artificial means, chemical means by which they also make it. So when they say monosodium glutamate, they don't tell you whether it's the pork product or it is the chemical product. I mean, even if it's a chemical product, it's not zam zam or something. So it's in any case not good for you, but still. And for those of us who like science more than Allah, monosodium glutamate, the good news is that it's also a carcinogenic chemical. It gives you cancer. So we eat that. And then of course, after you eat all that stuff, you feel thirsty, so you have to drink something. So what do you drink? Coke. or Pepsi. So all of the good work you did, I'm not saying it all went down the drain, but at least that some of it went down the drain. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the du'as of those who eat haram. When it comes to doing business, I'm talking about the provision for the path. वो हमारे हैदराबाद में किधर हैदराबाद में मसल है उर्दू में है बोलते हैं नमाज पढ़ता अल्लाह के लिए कड़वी चुराता बैलों के लिए
translate
he says salah he does for Allah and he steals grass for his cattle he's a selfless person never does anything for himself everything for him. चोरी भी किया तो बैल के लिए How many times have you and I heard this statement by somebody saying he prays five times a day, he's got a beard down to his ankles, but you know he tells lies. Have you heard this? Uh-huh. Not that if you don't have a beard, lies becomes jais for you, no. The point I'm saying is that when you decide to be a Muslim visibly, then the world holds you to a standard better than themselves. So respect that. That is the standard of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why I always think the hadith of Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody came and asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, they asked him several things. They said, can a Muslim do this? Can a Muslim commit murder? He said, yes. He said, can a Muslim? Can meaning not permissible. I'm just saying, is it possible that a person does? So, can he commit zina? He said, yes. And they asked him various things. So they said, what is it that a Muslim cannot commit? And he said, he cannot lie and he cannot cheat. And I was thinking, you know, what is so great about telling lies? We do it all the time, right? So what is so great about telling lies? That Rasulullah says, a Muslim cannot lie. Until one day, the penny dropped. What was the laqab, what was the title of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before he announced Islam? As-Sadiqul Amin, the one who does not lie, the one who doesn't cheat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his personal title to the Muslims. He said, who is a Muslim? The one who is like me. The one who does not lie, who doesn't cheat. See the honor that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. He gave his personal title. As-Sadiqul Amin. Who is a Muslim? As-Sadiqul Amin. So what is the provision for the path? Taqwa. Taqwa is to stay away from the doubtful. I'm not even talking about the haram, because obviously if you stay away from the doubtful, automatically you are away from haram. No need to mention haram. So the path, how much did you walk every day? The guide of the path, so you're not walking in the opposite direction. You can be in the same path, but you're going in the opposite direction. So follow the guide. Second one is, how much did you walk every day? So you maintain your distance, you monitor your progress. Third is, what is the provision? And the provision is At-Taqwa. And the fourth thing about the path is, who are the companions of you, who are your companions on this path? And remember, there are two kinds of companions. The companions who will help you, and there are highway robbers. Those are all the companions. They will kill you and they will take your stuff. So even though you are on the same path and the highway robber is with you, you are as good as dead, because that's not the companion you want. So who are the companions, who are your companions on this path? Very important to check that also. The company of good people who challenge you, not the company of people who, when you do something wrong, they say, no, no, it's okay. This is one of the biggest traps of shaitan, that we fall into, and unfortunately for us, we live in a system where we grow up with this. We grow up and we are conditioned to believe that as long as somebody else says it is okay, it is actually okay. But that's not life. Life is that loss is loss and gain is gain. If I lose my wallet and I come and tell you this fantastic short story about how I was going here and this happened and that happened and this is absolutely logical and there's no way that I could have, that my wallet and I could have retained contact with each other and therefore the wallet vanished, and you tell me, no, absolutely, this is, you know, I agree, I mean, what could you have done? Perfectly justified, not your fault. Will the wallet magically reappear in my pocket? Loss is loss. Loss does not turn to gain because you have an excuse. Loss does not turn to gain because there was some justified reason or whatever for you. That loss is loss, it's gone. Goodbye. But what's the system? How does the system, how does it condition us in this falsehood and we are foolish enough to believe that? Take a small child who goes to school. One day he goes late. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from parents who misguide instead of guiding. So what do the parents teach the child? Make some excuse. Tell the teacher I was not well. So the child says, teacher, I'm sorry, I was not well. Teacher says, it's okay, come. How is it okay? You told a lie on top of that. That's why when I teach, for example, you will notice that I never ask anyone to come on time. When they come late, I never say anything. Why? Because frankly, I mean, I'm sorry if you don't like me saying that, I don't care. I do not care about you and your welfare more than you care about it yourself. Let me make it very clear. I care about your welfare, that's why I'm sitting here. I'm not sitting here because I don't have a home. I'm sitting here because I'm not a homeless person. I'm sitting here because I care about you. But I'm sorry, I don't care about you more than you care about yourself. So if you don't come to my class or if you come late and you say, I'm sorry, well, you are sorry, maybe you are sorry, but who cares? I'm not sorry. Doesn't make any difference to me. And if you think by saying you are sorry, somehow the half hour or whatever time of the lecture or whatever was happening, that this will magically appear in your consciousness. No, it's not going to happen. God is gone, it's gone. Khalas. No, I will look at the notes. Then you should have read the book and said, sat at home. Why are you here? If just reading some material is sufficient, then why are you here? So who are the companions? And believe me, a lot of that happens because of the wrong company. And again, not evil people. It's not as if, you know, you are surrounded by shayateen. No. They're good people, but distracted. Mind is somewhere. Attention span of orangutans, you know, 30 seconds. As long as the banana is in the hand, once the banana is gone, you're gone. The company, you need the company and seek the company of good people. Seek the company of people who will not let you fail. Seek the company of people who will be tough on you. Seek the company of people who will challenge you. Don't seek the company of people who are lazier than you are. So as far as they are concerned, you know, if you are sleeping, well, I was also sleeping. So it's okay, it's all right, you know. Because if you want to reach a destination, you have to follow these rules. The reason I'm saying this is today is the last day of the LEC. And a day will come when it will be our last day. And we don't know, maybe mine is today. We had the longest lifespan when we were born. And then the clock is ticking backwards. So we don't know how much we have left. And for most of us who are sitting here, Allah knows best, may Allah give you, not most of us because all of you are young, but at least I can say for myself that I certainly don't think I will live as long as I have lived already. That's highly unlikely. I most certainly don't even want it, but I'm saying that it's also not even like, it doesn't even look like it's likely. So what I have left is less than what I have, what's already gone. So what is already gone, if it was good, it is good for me. If it was not good, I ask my Rabb for his forgiveness. But what is to come ahead is in my control. So what am I going to do with that? Waste it in hanging around with friends who are really highway robbers in disguise? Or use it to stay focused and say whatever happened is history. Forget that. Now what? Now what? Stick to the path, make sure you have the right provision, walk the distance every day and check your friends. So going out of this place after the LEC, I will talk about that more in the class, but here I strongly encourage you, make your plans to change your life. Write down what is it that you will do differently from what you used to do. Not continue in whichever way you are going on. It does not matter. I hope this 5 days was a good experience for you. I hope you enjoyed it, but frankly, it doesn't matter. It makes no difference whether you liked it, you didn't like it, whether you think this was the greatest program in the world, or you think it was a lousy program, makes absolutely zero difference. The difference that will make is what you do with your life. As simple as that. You could have enjoyed this program thoroughly, and then when you go back into your home and your life, you continue on whatever you were doing, then this program is a complete and total waste, even though you enjoyed it. But if you create some change in your life and you do something which benefits you, then this program is truly successful. And that is what I wish for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you great success in this dunya and to bring you great success in the akhirah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the path for you and to give you, Allah has already given us the guide, so that if you don't ask for another guide, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good companions who will take us and help us along on the path. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on track with regard to the provision of the path, so that we eat halal, we earn halal, we see halal, we hear and listen to halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the love of His kalam in your heart, so that you love to read it, you love to recite it, you love to listen to it, you love to understand it, and you love to practice it, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you companions in terms of your family members and your friends who will not be millstones around your neck to drag you to the bottom, but people who will actually hold your hand and take you ahead in the days and the times when walking on this path as it happens, because that's another issue of the path, that sometimes the path is not even, the path will go over a hill and into a valley, and the sun will rise and it will be shining nice and bright one day, and then the clouds come and it becomes pitch dark. But as long as you stay on the path, you stay on the track. But we have to still go through that dark period. And we still have to go through the rain, and we still have to go through the snow and the cold. And at that time, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you companions who will hold your hand and take you forward. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the path until we reach the destination to which this path leads, which is Jannatul Firdaus wal Aala bil Ghayr Hisab, inshaAllah. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين امين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين